Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to John. I'll be reading from the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This thing that is within me that many years ago used to kind of startle me a little bit. I didn't quite always know what to do with it. And what it is the fact that I love Jesus. If it were possible, I would do nothing but sit and listen to him speak all day. Teach, preach, laugh, sing, whistle, sigh, it wouldn't even matter. I love Jesus. A great part of it is because of what we sang in the hymn just a little while ago. I love Jesus because he first loved me. Without conditions, without exceptions, with no strings attached, his love is sacrificial and life-changing, all healing and restorative. There have been times when I've read the Word of God and I was convicted by it. It was almost like I heard him speaking and wagging his finger at me because I knew I wasn't living up to what he had called me to be. But even in those moments, I still knew that he loved me. And out of that love, Jesus then invites us to come and make our home in his love. I find that so fascinating. That Jesus, who loves us so much, then invites us to come and make our home in his love. It's as though Jesus has a house called love and says to each one of us, come, come and live in it, dwell in it, reside in it, make yourself at home in it. But there's one thing, kind of house rule. If you want to live in my love, then love one another. Okay, that seems pretty easy, doesn't it? But I find that interesting because Jesus could have commanded us to do a whole lot of other things. He could have given us a whole list of rules of do's and don'ts and this and that and all these things that we have to keep to the letter. But I think he understands that with us, the problem that happens with our humanness is sometimes it's easy to take lists of rules and make them into idols. That we take these lists of rules and we forget that we were created for God and not for the rules. And that, in fact, the rules were made for us. That was the argument, that tension, that struggle that happened between Jesus and the religious leaders over and over and over again. There's a story about Jesus' disciples picking grain on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a day that was set aside where you're not supposed to work. And so the religious leaders, they see this and they get all upset. And they're like, why are your disciples doing something that's not allowed? Why are they picking grain on a day when they are not supposed to? And Jesus responds, he says, they're picking grain because they're hungry. Then there's another story where Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. And at this, the religious leaders get all upset because here it is, he's doing work again on the Sabbath. And they said, if the man wanted to be healed, he could have come six other days. Jesus gets really tee-offed at this point. And he says, if you had an ox that fell in a ditch on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to get it out? The religious leaders, they can't answer it because they know the answer. But the problem isn't following the rules. The problem isn't even the rules themselves. The real problem was the absence of love. I like the way the Apostle Paul puts it. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he said, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but did not have love, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, yes, but if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. My brothers and sisters, all of those things, all of the rules, all of those things that we talked about, they're all temporary. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. They make sense right now, they don't make sense another time. But love is eternal. Love is forever. Love is the foundation upon which everything is established. Love is the starting point from which everything God does begins. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Therefore, as followers of Jesus, the command we have to live by is to love one another. For when we love one another, it is then that we are making our home in Christ's love. This takes work. Maybe that's why it's a command and not a friendly suggestion. It takes work. There are people we love, and there are people we don't. Sometimes it's because we don't like them, or we fear them, or we have all these other reasons why we don't love them. Sometimes we don't love them just because. But whatever it is, we may not think about working at loving people because we either do or we don't, when in fact we really should, because it's work worth doing. I'll tell you a story, a true story. Several years ago, I was leading a discipleship group, and there were five women in this group, and we were going through this wonderful book called Discipleship Essentials. And during this one chapter, I don't remember which one it was, one of the persons in the group felt convicted by what we were reading and talking about, and she made a confession. She said, Pastor Anna, I have to admit, I have a lot of negative feelings about a lot of people. And then she told stories. She says, I would get on the bus going to work, and a complete stranger would get on the bus with me, and as soon as I saw them, there would be something I didn't like about them. She said, it might be the way they looked, or the way they sound, or the way they walked, or maybe just the air about them, but I don't know what that is in me, but I just don't like them. And then she looked at me, she says, help me stop doing that. Now, nobody had ever asked me that before, so I'm looking at her, and I have no idea what to say. And so I pondered it for a little while. And then I thought to myself, you know, the best way to deal with that is to pray. And so I told her, I said, when that happens to you and you feel that yucky stuff coming up, pray for the person. Because it's hard to pray for someone's best and wish them the worst. So pray for their well-being. Pray that God fills their heart with love and peace and joy. Pray that God will hear their concerns and their cares and their cries and their worries. Pray that God will watch over them and keep them. Pray for them. And then after I finished saying that, I said, thank you, Lord, because I knew that came from God and not me. A week went by and we all gathered again for the class. And this time she came so excited. She said, I have been praying for a whole lot of people this week. You know, change takes a long time. But she said, there was this one person that I prayed for. And something happened that had never happened before. This man had gotten on the bus, and as soon as she looked at him, it's in the middle of the fall, and he's wearing sandals, and immediately she's like, really? And so she starts criticizing him in her head, coming up with all of these things. How can he do this? Da, 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 it's fashion faux pas, and you know. And then she remembers pray. And so she begins to pray for him. And as she's praying for him on the bus, she notices that he's clean and he's neat, but his clothes seems a little worn. And so now she's wondering in her prayer time, maybe he's wearing sandals because that's all he has to wear. And so now she starts praying that God might answer whatever concerns or struggles he's going through, if any. Through her prayers for this stranger, she began to see his humanity. No longer was he an object of her criticism or judgment, but now he was a human being created in the image of God and loved by God. Indeed, we can't pray for someone's best and wish them the worst. The command to love is a high calling, my brothers and sisters. It's a calling that we have been chosen to undertake. We love Jesus because he first loved us, and we follow Jesus because he first chose us. Not so that we might boast in it, but so that our lives might bear fruit because of it. But what does that look like? What does it look like when we love with the love of Jesus and bear fruit because of it? Well, it looks like the story that Andreas read about the Apostle Peter's actions when it came to Cornelius and his community. For 3 years, Peter had followed Jesus, loving him, listening to him speak and teach about the kingdom of God and the truths of love. But my brothers and sisters, knowing the truth and living the truth are not always the same thing. Here was Cornelius, a man of great integrity, a devout worshiper of God, and a leader in his community. However, Cornelius was a Gentile. To Peter, there was no way Gentiles were included in Jesus' understanding of neighbor. Cornelius could not be one of those that Jesus had meant to count. But God stepped in. When you read the beginning part of Acts chapter 10, I encourage you to do so. God stepped in and gave Peter a vision that ultimately led Peter to go to Cornelius' home, where there he witnessed the Holy Spirit that had fallen and filled him, Peter, now filling all of the Gentiles in the house. Although Peter, I'm sure, would have said that he had been living in and living out of God's love and showing God's love to everyone, he was convicted that day. Because God had expanded his vision to include people that Peter had never thought belonged. And in seeing how wide and far is the love of Jesus, Peter felt convicted. And he asked if there was any reason not to baptize Cornelius. Is there any reason not to include him? Is there any reason not to love him? My brothers and sisters, we have a command to live by, a command to love. May God stretch our understanding. May God expand our vision. May God convict our hearts. And may God move us so that we may live into our calling and bear fruit to the glory of God. Indeed, it will be by our love, not by the Bibles we carry or the crosses we wear or the attendance and worship that we have, but it will be by our love that the world will know that we belong to Jesus, who loves and cares for us forever. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that inspires us, your word that moves us, your word that claims and seizes us, your word that convicts us, challenges us. We thank you, O God, for your Son Jesus, whose love has changed our lives, and into whose love we seek to live in ways that shares that love with others. Help us, we pray, leaning upon your Spirit to lead and guide us in this. We ask all of this, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.